The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer, buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Welcome to the Big Shot Bob podcast, episode number 11. We got the whole crew with us this week, man. We are loaded with people. That is seven-time NBA champ Robert Ory. My name is Rob Jenners. That's the one and only Jamie Maggio and B-Dog Brandon Harper all with us at once this week. So we got the whole crew. How is everybody doing?
Yo.
B-Dog, is that me over your shoulder?
Oh, no. That's a little weird.
No.
Get off your platform, sir.
No. This is the late, great, my favorite player of all time, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, okay. I just saw a Laker uniform. I didn't know. I thought that was
a
Laker championship.
You ain't the only one that wore a Laker jersey.
Look at Big Shot coming in hot.
I thought it was a Laker team, and I just couldn't see. I just asked him.
With me in my book. I love you, yeah. But you know that's my dog right there.
Your pictures are framed over the fireplace where they should be. Okay. Commission a portrait of you for the fireplace is what we'll do.
No, RIP to the mama though. We miss you.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. And I'm looking at everybody's background, just making sure there's no wild stripper parties happening because, you know, some of us. I was kind of looking at Jamie and just making sure nothing's.
It
no
could be
shaking.
A bondage setup, right?
Like that's yeah, a little bit.
I realize it's not the best thing for professional Zoom.
Oh no! Don't do that. Don't tell on yourself now.
Yeah. Hey, hold on. Let me tweet something real quick. Jamie Maggio is into.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Now
look
we're just.
Shame.
Yeah. Now we're just trying to drum up drama. At this point.
Man.
Hey. That's why I got the screen behind me, so you don't really see what's really bad.
You know, what, see, the liquor cabinet? What are you?
Well, next to that.
Next to that. Well, okay, so I guess that's a good place to start. The big story right now was Paul Pierce, obviously. After the antics of Instagram Live, he had some females at his home. He was enjoying a little personal time, if you will, and he decided to put it on Instagram, and ESPN bounced him for it. Just I was the whole thing kind of threw me. I tend to think that what happens in your home is kind of your thing, and
yes,
but yet you work for a company that's owned by Mickey Mouse, so it's kind of hard to.
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me, and make this make sense, and stop me wherever I may be wrong, because I could be. I tend to be sometimes. You're telling me that a company that is owned by, you know, Mickey Mouse, two big old ears, kids love them, family environment. Disney. You telling me they didn't like strippers on the floor, poker chips being thrown at them, eyes bloodshot red, higher than the sky, drunk as a skunk?
You telling me
that don't fall in line with Disney? I would have never thought.
You know, for me, I, when everybody was showing that, and I'm like, okay, this is a joke. And at first, I didn't even notice. I'm not going to lie. I just was looking at the girl massaging him, the first video I saw. And I looked back. I said, hold on. What's that on the floor? Where he at? I'm like, what's good? I thought he was getting a haircut. I'm like, what barbershop he at? Why did he call me?
Like, exactly. Where was I invited?
Yeah. But it was weird, though, man, because it's almost like he was saying, you know, there's something up. I know everything's about to go down, and I'm just going out the way I want to go out. So I don't know. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, so your thought is
I think that was damage control, Rob. I don't think so. I think he was just doing that because he's not embarrassed, but he lost his job publicly. And I think that whole thing, like making it sound like he's got something big on the horizon, it was all talk. This was such a foolish move in my opinion. The risk versus the reward. How many people tuned in on that IG live? Like 350?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a crazy part.
The point was he ended up, even though it was three people, 350 only on the live, when you put it out to Twitter and you have millions of followers, then you trend like he was. So millions end up seeing
it. Was that his goal? Was the trend for this? Or was it just him going, hey,
it's got to be.
I'm having fun. I'm going to show some people.
He was high as fuck. Like, he didn't think it right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
100% yes.
But here's the part. I also heard that he took everybody's phone before they came in. I guess he wanted to have an exclusive.
Exclusive, yeah.
I was going to say, except the one that counts, which is yours.
Yeah, I understand.
This is mine, baby.
I took everyone's car keys so no one can drive except me. Like that, what?
But when you're somebody that's made over, look, he's made over close to $200 million in his NBA career. I'm thinking to myself, the way that he went out, usually somebody, you know, you offer an apology, I'm sorry, boom, 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 the whole little apology thing. Oh. He didn't offer any of that. He's playing music in the background, smiling. I got things on the up and up. You know, everything is going to be good. He got something in the chamber. It's something waiting.
Yeah. It's something. Someone that came to him and says, it reminds me of when San Antonio, and San Antonio is a HEB, the Spurs were HEB sponsor. And Walmart comes to me and says, hey, we know you at HEB, but I'm going to throw all this money at you. Can you say buy the HB? You're like, hell yeah, I'm out. I'm like, shit, even though it ain't the same, you know, you got strippers and it's not a good comparison. But I'm saying sometimes you have to leave somebody that you loyal to because the other person wants to step up and give you that paycheck. So I don't know what's going on with that.
I'm all right with that part, Rob, but you don't want to burn bridges.
Yeah, you got
it. You know, like, and there's no, like, you're Paul Pierce. Like, you don't need to brag about anything. Like, everybody knows you're Paul Pierce. You're a baller. And I'm the female opinion here.
That's what we want.
Thank you.
Poker chips, though? Not real money. Poker chips. You sitting up there. I mean, when you throw
how
them things.
How disrespectful is that, though? It's like, go cash this out.
Don't those hurt if they land a certain way? Like, I'd rather the dollar bills.
The crazy part is, if I would love reading the comments. The comments were the funniest thing. Is that Bitcoin? Like,
is that Bitcoin?
What's Rachel Nichols? You know, and after that, Rachel blew up. I'm like, wow.
Oh, no.
Do you think that's why this became a bigger thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of Rachel's name being brought into it?
Yeah. When you're bringing up, you know, when somebody in the live brings up a coworker and now she's trending and now they're trying to do damage control and ESPN is like, not only are you doing this, but one of our others have been brought into this. Now we got to make sure that she's okay, that, you know, she's not going crazy. So it's just a whole lot of things. You just got to kill it all. You just got to kill it.
Yeah, I understand her status too. You know, she has her own show. She's blowing up and she's trending the right way. You don't need any black eye to slow her trend because ESPN, you know, they put a lot of money in her. And so
you
can't have that happening.
And she's done a great job, by the way. Yeah. Rachel Nichols, outstanding. She's done a great job.
It's not like she was actually there, though. That's
I know.
I mean, Paul said her name either, right?
No, he didn't. But that's you know, it's guilty by association. Oh, he works with Rachel. And someone said, is Rachel Nichols there? Like, oh, she's like in the background, like, hey, don't put me in that. She was not there.
It's like when Rob says some crazy shit and they bring your name up, Jamie. We just know it's not going to work for me. Blame him. It has nothing to do with me. Blame his ass. Well, look, Paul Pierce ain't going to be struggling for long because he's got offers, damn it. It looks like the Barstool thing is starting to heat up, which not surprising. But the one that's really going to get him paid, I think, was this offer from Cam Soda, who I had never heard of before.
I never heard of this
yesterday, but apparently they're an adult entertainment service. Here's the summary of the offer. We'd like to extend you a position as Cam Soda's first ever NBA analyst. Would require you to stream yourself live on the platform every weeknight, discuss the happenings around the NBA, and extend you an offer of $250,000 to stream on this, whatever Cam Soda is.
Also, they also said, we will provide you, we support exotic dancers and strippers, and we will provide you with them while you give your NBA analysis, and they were to be in the background doing what they do. Mm-hmm.
Rob wants in on this.
Is hold on. Is that Houston strippers or Atlanta strippers?
Combination?
Because, you know, Houston strippers, they can't take the bottoms off. Atlanta strippers can take the bottoms off.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out.
So you got to know where the line is. Okay.
Exactly. Which strippers is he going to have?
Hey, it might be a combination of both of them.
Fly him in. Just fly him in.
Yeah.
Where
is he going to have? Is this in his house or studio? What's that? What's happening? Man. He knew it. And does he need a co-host?
There's the question. By the way, where is Paul? Do we know? Where does he live?
L.A. probably.
Is he in L.A.?
Yeah. He's
from L.A.
Yeah,
he's,
it's, you know, last time I talked to him, he's living in L.A. He had just moved to, I think, Encino or Tarzana, one of those places over there.
So you've done, you do the jump pretty regularly. Have you been on with Paul lately?
Just once.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And actually, I haven't seen him on there a lot either, you know, so that's probably another reason he's probably, you know, disgruntled with his time. I want my time too. I'm not getting it, so I got something for you. Who knows?
Wow.
Only okay. He knows, right?
Yeah, hey. I guess.
The greener pastures, so I guess so.
I didn't see that. I didn't even think about your perspective, Rob, about this being sort of a, I'm on my way out anyway. I'm going to go out the way that I want. I didn't even think about it from that perspective.
Yeah,
apparently his relationship with ESPN has been a little rocky. So
also, I want to know, who is Monica? Was it Monica he kept yelling for?
Monica, roll through here.
Who is Monica? That's the $1 million question. Who is Monica?
You know, somebody, you know, an essential worker is what we'll call them. An essential worker who he may have done business with in another city, and she probably was on the live, and she was missing out
Atlanta
on the
fun. Or Houston, though? Which city?
Which city? Yeah.
There's plenty of Monicas in both of these
cities.
No,
Monica's more a Houston name than it is an Atlanta name.
There's plenty of Monica. Because both cities, so it's like, Monica, you know, you're missing out if you come and make some money. Monica missed out, okay, whatever.
All right, so if one of us screams Monica throughout the show, which turned the cam feeds off.
Just saying, Monica could have made a little money.
Gotcha.
But no,
I was the other story this week that kind of floored me, and I think it was just because it was such a bad look, was the Durant Michael Rapoport stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the original tweet was sent out back in December by Michael Rapoport, who I guess was not really a fan of KD and the way he was the way he addressed something on Inside the NBA. He didn't even tag Durant in the original tweet. He just said, "Hey, I wasn't, you know, KD's got to do a better job answering that question." Well, Durant screenshots it, or somebody who works for Durant screenshots it, and now Durant is DMing Michael Rapoport and basically just unloading on Rapoport, calling him, I mean, horrible names and horrible things, but. Fined $50,000 this week by the NBA.
Dropping the bucket.
Yeah.
For me, though, I think, you know, I love Kevin Durant a lot. I love his game. But isn't this his second incident with something with Instagram? You know, he had the black account. Now he has this. And I know this is a totally different thing. It's a private setting. He thought he wasn't going to get out. And I think Michael Rapoport's wife put it out there. So it's kind of frustrating in that sense when you know, he probably felt like, yo, this is me having an issue with you. It's not a public thing. But I do respect the wife coming to the defense of her husband. You know, James, I'm sure you would do the same, right? Come to my defense if I was your husband.
Sure.
That was very confident, Jamie. Oh, sure. Yeah,
I guess.
Wait a minute. It's not saying that she's...
Where's Monica?
Yeah.
When you started this though, Jenners, you said this is not a good look. Who is this not a good look for?
Well, for me, Durant. Just because of the language and I don't know. Like, I mean, even if it's private, that the way the language he was using and the way he was framing it and stuff, it was, I mean, like, I don't want to read
I
half of
it.
It
was so I could really bad. See the language he was using.
It was bad. I mean, it was like a lot of homophobic
but this is
references
how guys talk.
And F you and S this and then and was like.
You were going to, you read that, you were offended by it?
I wasn't offended by it. I just thought it was a bad look for Durant. Like, and I get, that's how guys talk, and we'll bust each other's balls about stuff like that. But I've never gone after somebody, no matter how pissed off I was, let alone somebody on Twitter. Who I could care less about somebody on freaking
Twitter.
Well,
that's the thing, right? KD should just ignore this stuff. And like 100%. You said, Big Shot, this is a second time now. Like, you're proving yourself to be soft, I think, if you let this kind of stuff ruffle your feathers. Yeah. However, for Rappaport or his wife, I didn't realize it was his wife, to release the DMs, to contact a lawyer, come on. Like, you go on talk shows and you talk trash, and this is, you kind of make a living out of this. You can't expect them for someone to not respond and then to take that stuff and make it public. You know, I think both of them are wrong. And then I also think it's wrong that some of these headlines said, you know, KD, homophobic, misogynistic.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
That was wrong, too. He was just, that was guy talk. He was talking trash. That's how I didn't look at it as offensive slurs. I thought it was, you know, a guy who got pissed. And really, like, you shouldn't be like Kawhi and don't be on social media. That's what I think.
Here's the thing. And Jamie, I do agree with you. I think both of them are at fault here. One, and I think it was actually Rappaport who released those things, because I think he wanted everybody to see what Durant was calling him and how he was talking. Here's my other, and so I have an issue with that, because that's a private conversation in the DM between two men, and that's where it should have stayed. On the flip side, I got an issue with Durant because he got rabbit ears. He takes offense to everything. Dude, you've been in the league 14 years, and I'm not, I know everybody is different, everybody's built different, but come on, bro, you got to stop acting like a little sissy. Grow up. You can't have rabbit ears about everything. Something's got to roll off your back and you got to keep it moving.
Why do you want to let people see that, like, they can get to you so easily?
Easy.
But, you know, if you look at, and it's just not Durant, it's a lot of guys in the league, you know, that get talked about and then their feelings get hurt and they don't want to talk to you. So they curse this guy out in the media. I'm like, dude, if you don't, you know, do something stupid or you want to be in this position, you know, don't be in it. But they're going to be reporters out there that's going to say, you can go out and be perfect in the game. There's going to be one reporter talk bad about it. There's going to be someone that's going to, you know, talk about it. And you got to think about it. You caused this on yourself from the day you left OKC to go to Golden State Warriors. You put yourself in the position to always be talked about, always have someone doubting you. You know, it's like, okay, you go out and you win the MVP. So what? You had this guy. And so, you know, you think about it. LeBron has said, been in the same situation. LeBron, like, fuck it. I'm just going to roll with it and do something to make you seem stupid in everybody's eyes because of the statement you just made, you know. And it's just weird that he gets so offended sometimes about things, but still.
Also,
but Rob, did you read stuff when you were playing and there was maybe a writer that criticized you? Did you read that? Did you take it personally? Did you ever?
One time. One time it was Feinberg. I think his name is Feinberg. Down in Houston. I can't remember his name. Bill Feinberg. Blindberg, something like that. And you know how after a game you have conversations, like, let's say I'm having a conversation with you guys, but I'm joking about something. Oh, that motherfucker can't score on me, yada, yada, yada. He's a bitch, right? You know, I'm talking to you. He's behind me. He hears me saying this, right? And I'm joking with them, right? He goes into the paper, and this is funny, like, it's a paper, you know, this is back in 94, 93, 94.
When they had papers.
When they had papers, right? And he writes what I says. I'm like, dude, why'd you write that? I said, I didn't tell you that. He said, well, I heard you. I said, dude, I was making a fucking joke to my friends, and I got pissed by him. And from that moment, when I got in his face about it, he wrote something bad about me every day. Like, oh, they should trade Robert Ory. He's not this. He's not that. And I'm like, dude, I just won two championships, you know, kiss my ass. And he still wrote stuff bad about me, you know.
And that could be, like, detrimental.
Yeah.
You know,
and for me, I said, you know what? After that, I stopped reading the paper because I knew every time I saw him, I wanted to punch him in his face. And I just say, you know, I'm not going to deal with it. And like, even when we were doing interviews, you know, when they do the gangbang, and I'm sitting there and saying,
you could also call it scrum. We don't have to call it gangbang, but anyway. Monica!
If we're getting that Paul Pierce money, it's a gangbang, so let's not shake this off.
I was going to say it, but I was going to leave it alone. And so I'm like, all right, okay.
But all of a sudden, I look up and see him come into the huddle, and I would stop talking. And everybody turned and looked at him like, you got to go so we can finish. With he could walk up. I'm like, no, I'm not talking if he's here. And it wasn't. I didn't. I wouldn't. It was just because after that, he just started bad mouthing me. And mm-hmm. instead of him owning up to his mistake that he made in my eyes, because it was a mistake, because it was something he heard on the side and it was meant as a joke. And then he wrote it. Now I'm looking like I'm an asshole. You know, instead of coming to me with it.
You know, another component to this Rappaport Kevin Durant thing, and I know he didn't bring up Rappaport's wife to be mean or be negative, but don't bring up mm-hmm. another man's wife in this situation when it's between you and that man. Leave that man's wife out of it in any and every capacity you possibly can. Because once you bring somebody's wife, child, girlfriend, or loved one into that situation, gloves are off. Gloves are off completely.
Well, but that's always what happens when you're floundering in a fight. Like when you're trying to get a response or you're trying to get somebody's ire. Like if you've ever been in a fight with your significant other and it is blown up to the point where people's moms come into it and you throw the dog in there too. And you know what I mean? Like it gets ugly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's true.
It gets ugly fast when you're reaching for emotion. Like I'm going to find something to say to get this guy to come back at me.
And it it happened.
Yeah. But Rap's like greatest dig was goofball, right? Like he said, goofball, like go help the kids in Brownsville, Brooklyn, you goofball. Like, I mean, he wasn't, KD was clearly rattled by it. And that's why, right. Mm-hmm. That's such a bad look.
My thing, and this is the other thing that I hate, because this happens too much. And maybe this is my thing and you won't agree with this. I hate the meet me at the corner of here and here and we're going to fight.
Right.
Shut up. Nobody's going to a corner to be like, "Where's what's after Michael Rappaport doing?" No, he's waiting for Kevin Durant to show up because he's going to fist fight. Like, come on. Like
3:15, meet about a merry-go-round.
Right.
That's what I tell you.
Exactly. I'll see you on the playground at 4 o'clock, punk. Like, what?
So a 6'11", 14-year NBA veteran, one of the greatest players we've ever seen in this league, he is going to meet... A
hanging out on a street corner of Brooklyn, just waiting to fight.
A loudmouth actor / reporter / whatever else, comedian, at the corner of such and such for a fight. Man, y'all sit yourselves down somewhere and shut up.
I don't like that. Yeah. I've never liked that.
Think about it. That's what comedians do, though. You know, they supposed to try to make jokes off you. Think about how many comedians talk bad about Mike Tyson. And who in this room going to want to fight Mike? But this world wants to fight Mike Tyson.
Rob, that's different. Mike Tyson crazy, he will hit you. There's a difference here.
But that's it. Comedians still took that chance and made fun of him. You know, but you can't understand. That's what comedians do. So.
Yeah, I ain't playing like that. I ain't with that type of comedy. I ain't doing that.
Has anyone in this room ever gotten into a big back and forth with somebody on Twitter? Whether it be a fan or... just some random asshole or something.
I did once.
Did you?
I always do things just once and then I back out because this guy, it happened when I was on a jump and Tracy McGrady said, "Let me get one of the rings." I said, "You know, you want to earn your own." And everybody took that as a diss because of the way Tracy McGrady's face was. He's like, you know, I said it as a joke. So everybody was like, "How dare you diss Tracy McGrady? He's the greatest player." Da, da, da. I was like, and so it was a bunch of Houston fans that were going at me. So this one in particular was like saying, "You played for Houston. If it wasn't for Dream and Clyde, da 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 da." I'm like, first of all, I said, how many trophies or rings did Tracy McGrady get you? It ain't about that. I said, when you play a sport, it is about that. It's about finishing the season with the win and a trophy. And he says, "You never did anything." So I said, you know what? And I sent him my stat line of what I was averaging in the playoffs against Orlando, and it was like 22-12, 8 steals. And I sit there, I said, so I did nothing, shut the fuck up. and I'm like, I left it like that. I'm like, dude, the stat, hey, numbers don't lie. And you talking about I ain't do anything. And it was like, it was a picture of me with my stat line on that. And he didn't say anything else after that because, you know, that shut him up because you said I didn't do anything. He's apparently I did something. I'm averaging 20 points in the playoffs.
Man,
and
lie,
you won that argument, but half the time people are just looking to engage, right? Yeah. Ooh, I got Rob Ori to respond to me. Like I said something shitty and he responded.
Right.
Like it's just not even worth it.
But I'm curious too, though, about Jamie, because being on TV and in a big prominent role, have people come at you on Twitter?
Yeah, but Twitter is more of a cesspool than Instagram, I think.
Oh, God, yes, it is. Oh, yeah.
And people say stuff, and they say all kinds of crazy stuff. I used to, Michelle Beadle used to clap back in epic fashion, right? And I used to enjoy the way that she would shut mm-hmm. people down. I don't have it in me to sit there and spend my time, you know, responding to these people. And I do think that more often than not, it's just to be like, ooh, I got a response. Like I caught their attention.
I got her goat.
You know, and then you're just feeding the trolls and it's like a no-win situation. So I preserve my energy and I do not engage.
Good for you.
Well, I'll say this. I don't have the following that you two have, but let me tell you this right here. Uh-oh. I ain't about to sit here and argue with nobody on no Twitter web or over the cyberspace or whatever. I'm not going to spend my time sitting. I'm going to let you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
But what you is you get that one moment when someone catches you, like that instance with that guy where he says, you never did anything for the Houston, you just rode the coattails of Dream. And I'm like, oh, hold on, motherfucker.
Right.
What are you talking about? Let me show you my stat line that I ain't doing anything. I averaged
more points. He hit that one button.
I averaged more points in the finals than, you know, half the team. What are you talking about? Yeah. And so that was the one time. And after that, I normally don't do it. Like the other day, a guy got mad at me because when I was on the jump, I said something about J.J. Redick. And so he says, how dare you say that about J.J. Redick? I said, listen, man, I said, I'm not disrespecting, man. I'm just looking at it from how the nature of the NBA is. The beast is if you haven't done anything for a team, they have no responsibility to what you want. They don't care. It's a business, and they're going to do what's best for them and what they think is best for the organization, not you.
Right.
And so he got mad that I said that. I was like, dude, listen here. I won two championships in Houston. And they said, oh, we're never going to trade Robert Horry. You know, he helped us win two championships. Shit, I was gone the next day. And I said, they lie. That's what they do. They lie to you to make you comfortable. And when you're comfortable, that's when they stab you in the back sometimes. And, you know, I shouldn't say say stab you in the back, but they do what's best for, they think is best for the organization. Right. Yeah, it's a business. Right. And when you make this much money playing a sport, and get this, this is sport. It's hard when you go from one city to another because you do have family, you do have kids, and you do have a relationship with people in that city. But that's why you get paid 6 and 7 and 8 figures. You deal with it, and then you move on. So you can't get mad. And I think sometimes players forget about that, and players and fans do too.
And don't be bringing up J.J. Redick's name like he the second coming of Michael Jordan or something. How could you bring up? Is that one lone J.J. Redick fan is living in a basement somewhere?
Yeah.
How dare you disrespect the GOAT, J.J. Go sit down somewhere. J.J. Redick is coming and going in this league, and no disrespect to J.J., but there's plenty of J.J. Reddicks in the league. Go sit down somewhere.
And that's what I was saying. I'm like, dude, I said, you didn't win an All-Star. You didn't win All-Star with them. You won the MVP. You didn't win a championship. So what kind of loyalty does the team have to have with you? You only been there like 2 years, so there's no loyalty to you.
Nah.
You know, you have
loyalty in general in sports, man. I mean it really isn't. There's very few guys that get to do like what Kobe Bryant did or do what Chipper Jones did in Atlanta, where you play for a team for your whole career.
And I always throw this out there. I said, think about this. When you think Yankees, you probably think Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And for the Yankees, when his contract says, I don't care, go do what you want to do. Go try to find a name. Oh, shit, he found more money. Oh, Jeter, we sorry. Rick, come on back here.
Come back.
And if they would do that to Derek Jeter, Mr. Baseball for the New York Yankees, they'd do that to any individual in the sport. So I'm like, okay, you know, it's no loyalty sometimes. So
You look out for yourself. Everybody's looking out for themselves, and ownership and management are always looking to find. You know, they'll use you up for a certain amount of time. You have a great career. But after some point in time, it's time to move on, whether you voluntarily do it or they ship you out one way or another.
Yeah, or recast the podcast around you. That was an inside joke with him and I. I apologize. That probably shouldn't have been said, and I might have to edit that out. But, you know, that was a little inside joke with me and Harper. I apologize. We had an NBA player do that. By the way, congratulations to Baylor for just, like, I mean, dominating the national championship game on Monday night. Holy cow. I mean, I did not see that
coming.
From the tip. Yeah, I mean, from the opening tip all the way through, there was no stopping Baylor. But
the crazy part about Baylor is I saw them after their little hiatus with COVID, and I was like, oh, they're good, but they're not that good. And then I saw them later in the year. I was like, oh, shit. These dudes are nice, man.
They are. They were physical. And I don't want to overlook this moment, though, from Gonzaga, because Suggs had a Robert Horry-esque moment in the UCLA game that I wanted to play the Gonzaga call of it just because I love the home team homer call of a big moment like this. So this was the Suggs game winner over UCLA in the Final Four.
Kispert now drives, leans in, the runner comes up short. Juzang, though, rebounds and puts it in. We're tied at 90. 3 seconds left. Here's Suggs the other way. Pull up three for the win.
Yes! Yes!
Set yes! of the championship game! He knocked it out from 40 at the buzzer!
Yes!
they were freaking out on the consecutive.
So those are those moments where you wish you had a full arena. Those are those type of moments. Because that should have got you're just in anticipating everybody jumping out of their seats and cheering everywhere, and then you look up, it's like 2,000 people there, and you just hear little cheers here and there.
Yeah.
So
it's weird because when Alabama hit that game time three against UCLA, I didn't get to see that, but I saw this and I was like, wow, you know, it gives you chills when you see guys able to knock down buzzer, especially in the NCAA tournament. It's so many buzzer beaters, and you love to see them because these are gonna go down in history for years and years, because they're gonna talk about this, especially this one, because this is it wasn't an NCAA tournament champion last year. So this year was, you know, all eyes on it because people were craving it, and now they had it, and you had a lot of great moments. And for Baylor to go out and blast them, they're like, that's like,
I know. It was such an anticlimactic finish. You know, it was like number one versus number one. Let's duke it out. And Baylor just floored them. But when you see a shot like that, does it ever kind of take you back to maybe a few of the ones that you got to hit? And you're like, I know that moment. I've been in that moment.
You know, if it's this is going to sound have a little ego behind it, but no.
Because,
you know, sorry. Only reason I say it because if it would have went swish, then yes. When it doesn't go swish, it doesn't.
Because it was a bank shot?
Yeah, it was a bank shot.
The bank is always open.
Hey, I know it sounds weird and a little egoish, but no, I'm saying for me, it's just like the one from Alabama, yes. The one from UCLA, yes. But that one is like, oh, he banked it.
It was like, but think of the scenario leading up to it. The final seconds, go to the championship. Oh. It was damn near half court.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I, you know, it's just for me, it's something about a swish, you know, I can't explain it. I'm
shit
sorry.
On this kid's mom.
The bank is
No. You asked me, did it take me back? Though. It didn't take me back. That's what it said.
Okay.
Did it take me back? And I said, no, because it didn't swish. That's why it didn't take me back.
All right. And while this was an amazing moment, I don't know if it's better than Villanova hitting the shot at the buzzer to win the national championship a couple years ago.
Oh, over North Carolina?
Over North Carolina. I don't know if there is a better moment than you hit the shot at the buzzer to win the whole thing.
That's always the greatest at the buzzer.
That's beyond.
And even you think about the Christian Leitner shot when he, you know, boom, and then shots like that when you move and it's swish. It's always a different – it's just a different feel for a swish than a 40-foot bank shot.
Than a bank shot.
Look, everybody ain't
it's
able to
It's going to go
shot.
Down in tournament history, though, as one of the
yes,
greatest.
Is.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
But here's the thing is, though, that number 45 for Baylor, I forget what his name, but he was giving it to him, though, on the other end.
He was.
Hey, I hate that. He did that one move where he crossed him, and I think he ran to the locker room looking for him, and he lost it. I was like, no. I was so mad he fumbled that ball because I knew that was going to be one of those children's moments where you cross the dude up, you look at him, he's like, get up and then shoot it. He crossed him up so bad. I think he crossed him so bad he lost the ball. I was like, man, I wanted to see that. That number 45 was giving it to him, boy.
Can I be honest with y'all about something when it comes to this season as a whole? And I'm glad, you know, we were able to have the tournament. But it was just something missing for me that a lot of the blue bloods weren't there. Duke wasn't there. Kentucky wasn't there. Like, to see an NCAA tournament without Coach K.
Rob's not happy with it.
That's all right. That's fine. That's, do the other people in this room feel me? Can I get an amen somewhere?
It didn't seem right not to have those schools there, but it didn't take away from the excitement of the tournament for me. But then again, I went to UC Santa Barbara, so I'm just happy to be in the tournament.
I'm an FAU grad. I have no point in this conversation, okay? I don't exist here.
I'm just happy we back on top again. We got one of the top teams in the NCAA again. Alabama basketball is back, y'all.
Yeah, just carry that sign for the rest of the year.
Not just a football school, Rob.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, gymnastics is good.
even our rowing team is all right, good.
No, hold on. Don't bring out the rowing team. Jesus, man. No. Like, oh, God.
Hold on. Which one of those does Nick Saban coach?
The rowing team. You didn't know that? Hey,
you talking about Saban, the guy who's going to probably win about four more championships That's before –
Yeah,
you know
that guy.
Dabo takes over.
Before Dabo goes home. Speaking of great coaches, by the way, we did have Roy Williams retire this week.
Yes.
Would be remiss if we didn't mention that. Three national championships at North Carolina. Did when he was at Kansas? Did he recruit you?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, but Kansas said when you think of Kansas, you think of Cole somewhere way out. FC never eats sour watermelon. Way out west from Alabama.
Wait. Time out.
I've never heard that before.
Time out.
Y'all never heard that one before?
What was that?
You know, back when I was a little kid, it's like, that's how you made me remember north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
Never eats sour watermelon.
Rob, it ain't but four directions.
I was 4 years old, dude. What do you mean?
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Don't anybody on this call get on their high and mighty horse like you don't sing the fucking alphabet song every time you have to go A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z. Here's the letter K. Come on.
But no, I could go to Kansas.
Sour water. What is
that? That was just a, but no, I, you know, it's weird. He recruited me, but it was too far for my mama. I wasn't going that far.
Oh, was that really it? Was that why?
Yeah, that was, you know, Alabama, Auburn, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech. Wake Forest was my best visit, but okay. It was too far for my mother. Then Georgia Tech was close. No, and my mom was like, yeah, we're going to Alabama. So that was the closest.
Okay.
If you're Roy Williams, you cannot make your retirement announcement on April Fool's Day. Because I legit thought it was a joke for a good 45 minutes. And yeah. I'm like going on Twitter and I'm searching. Like, I did not think it was real.
Yeah, this is.
I didn't even pay any attention because I said, well, someone is putting that out there as a lie. And next day, and I said, oh.
It really happened.
Hubert Davis. I'm like, it is real.
So. He had a press conference. Oops.
But he did have some health issues, though, the last couple of years. So I remember he fainted a couple of times. So I think it was time for him to, you know, hand over the reins to someone else.
Yeah, it was.
I think every coach, you know, of legendary status has that moment when you start to, you know, evaluate things year to year. It's like, do I really want to continue to put my all into this? Because those guys they're all or nothing. There's no half-stepping. You know, you don't get to where they get to half-stepping. So he's kind of like, look, I don't know if I want to continue to do this. I don't know if my heart is completely in it. Let me turn over the reins. And congratulations to Hubert as well. You know, first African-American coach in North Carolina history.
Yeah.
And shout out to that. Salute to him.
Yeah. Yes,
watch, it comes out in a couple of days. Williams was at Paul Pierce's party. He had to step down.
That'd be great if the camera with Paul just peered to the side and there's Roy Williams doing his little dance from the locker room.
You know, he's got moves.
On.
He likes to dance in the locker room.
He does.
I wish I might find out Roy Williams was sitting there in that room somewhere. I don't know what I'd do.
There's an SNL bit in this somewhere. There's an SNL bit with the Paul Pierce live where it's Roy Williams dancing over there.
Yeah, right.
By the way, there's a couple things that aren't on the sheet that just kind of broke today was we got some details about what happened to Tiger. Did you hear any of that?
I know that they're releasing the details. I hadn't heard what they are yet.
So he was going between 84 and 87 miles an hour before the crash.
Wow.
And he hit, I think it was, a tree?
A tree at 75 miles
at about
an hour.
75. And then that's what sent the car swiling off and spinning over. And but he was, and I think it was in a 45 mile an hour zone or something like that, or a 40 mile an hour zone.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think the story was he was late for a commercial shoot or something. Mm-hmm. And he was going about twice the speed limit when the accident happened. So,
first of all, you Tiger Woods, I'm still trying to understand. You late for a commercial shoot. Why ain't someone picking you up?
My aunt said the same thing you saying.
We just had the same thing before we started. We had the same conversation. How are you not have a driver?
And then you driving that car is not as safe as other cars you could be driving, you know. So
just wild to hear those details.
I hear about Tiger. He always try to be like normal, and that's the thing. He says he likes to be normal and do things like that. So I ain't mad at it.
I want to ask Jamie Amrod.
I'm glad
about the. What? I'm sorry, Jamie. I want to ask both of you all about kind of like down in LA area in the valley. How are the your roads and your streets? Is it a lot of turns, twists? Because I don't know where he was traveling through.
I do know where he was traveling through, and I know that that's been a tricky intersection. You know, I mean, here in the news, we covered it shortly after the crash about how, you know, regular civilians came out and said, I've been in an accident in this area. I also drive 20 miles over the speed limit on roads like that at what it was like 7 a.m. Nobody's out. So, you know, I'm just glad that he was able to come away alive.
Yes.
Right.
You
yes,
know?
Yes.
So,
but I'll give him credit. There's no worse feeling than knowing you're late for something and you're like hauling ass. That is the worst. For me, that is a gut wrenching feel. Like, I'm 2 minutes late.
Or
on
when
Zoom
you have
call,
to go to the like, bathroom so bad oh, and you're in the God, car. That's no. when I speed. I'm like, I just got to get home.
That's bathroom. When you're scanning every exit, the bathroom, restrooms. No. Okay.
Here's what you also, this is all you have to understand. And I appreciate him saying, oh, I'm late. I got to get there. But first of all, you Tiger motherfucking Woods.
They're going to wait.
You could be late.
They're going to wait.
It doesn't matter. You could be late.
And they don't start without you. You know?
Exactly. And like, okay, what are we doing? I'm like, I'm 10 minutes late. Wow, that's what they do in California. You know, you're going to shoot. By the time you get there, it's hurry up and wait. That's what the rule is in California. You hurry up and get there, and then you wait. Mm-hmm. I'm sure by the time he got there, they had some standing there, getting the lighting right. By the time he did all this, they had just been getting ready to start. So, but I appreciate him wanting to be on time.
And Jamie, as far as him, if he had to go to the bathroom, well, either he got two options. He got a cup, or you can pull over to the side of the road. There's some woods. I know you got a lot of trees out there in California, Southern California.
It's so much easier for you guys.
Isn't it, though?
Not
see, we
fair.
Can just,
yes,
yeah,
it's
you
so
can,
much easier. What do you mean, is it, though?
Yeah. No, it's a whole other thing. Yeah.
James, all you got to do is just, you know, pull over, open the passenger.
You like the soccer squat?
Look like you squatting to pick up something. You know, a dainty squat.
And we have all seen drunk girls at tailgates or at basketball games or football games. Squatting in the parking lot, like behind a truck somewhere, and that's disgusting.
Oh, my
no,
God.
I'm good. Thank you. The heebie-jeebies story of the week that is almost hard for me to talk about is, did you see the MMA fighter who lost his finger during the fight?
And he kept fighting.
He lost his finger. They had to stop the fight because there was an excessive amount of blood in the ring, and they found out that his ring finger had come off. During this fight, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find his finger. You know where it was?
Where was it?
In his glove. His finger had come off of his body. He was still fighting.
Adrenaline, baby.
That's what I was going
to
say, right?
Yes. But, I mean, like, listen to the just the shock of the announcers.
Oh, my God.
What?
What am I seeing here?
Where is his finger?
Is his finger gone?
I mean, it was just, it's one of those. And then he got pissed that they called the fight and TKO'd it for the other guy because he wanted to keep fighting without his ring finger.
Hey, why not?
Those guys are amazing, man.
Can they reattach it?
They did. He went to the hospital and they actually reattached the finger. But what do you mean, why not? He doesn't have a finger. The fight's over.
But here's the thing. It's one thing if he realized he didn't have the finger. But if you would have kept going, he wouldn't have realized until either he knocked dude out or dude knocked him out. One way or another, you find out after the fight.
If he would have won that fight, he would have been legendary for winning
exactly.
the fight
forever.
With only nine fingers.
With nine fingers.
I'm just saying.
He's appealing the TKO, by the way.
Because think about how if we talk about Ronnie Lott having to cut his finger off just so he can play in the playoff game the following week. This guy would have been legendary like that.
Or Jason Pierre-Paul, who loses his three fingers to fireworks.
Don't get me started on that.
Go.
Him and Plaxico Burress, man.
Yes, that's a whole nother.
He's got the Giants lady there.
Yeah. I mean, Plax with the... For starters, you're wearing sweatpants to the club. One, what are you doing?
That happens a lot.
No, come on. Put on some freaking regular pants. Two, why are you carrying your strap into the club?
He wasn't going to get hot wings. So he wasn't going to that type of club where you wear sweatpants. He was going to another type of club.
Yeah.
You're going to be dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot. Yeah. When you're
better mobility in the sweatpants.
So when's the last time you wore sweatpants to a club, right? I mean, Brandon.
Oh, I'm not a clubber. So
I was going to say, when's the last time his ass been to a club?
But I got homeboys who, you know, every now and then they frequent, you know, like to have a good time. And, you know, they may have, hey, I'm comfortable, you know.
If I go to the Kroger in pajama pants, I feel like a scumbag.
At most places?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, really? They are, but depending on who you are, you may better get away with it. Depending on who you know. We in a world of who you know.
Put some pants on, for God's sake. Some regular, normal human pants. All right, I got to bring some audio of the week to the show, and then we'll get to the big shot of the week. This comes to us from Cleveland TV. Have you ever heard of Bruce Drennan?
Mm-mm. Anybody? Not before today.
Okay. He is a TV reporter. He covers the Indians, and he does like a post-game call-in show on TV where he talks to fans, and they do all this stuff, and it's on television. And he has a fan that he calls in this week, and I guess he doesn't agree with this guy, but listen to Bruce Drennan just lose his mind on Cleveland television after the Indians lost.
This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you
idiot.
Are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show. Fair weather idiot.
That's Bruce Drennan on Cleveland television.
This is why you got to have live people, man, sometimes. It makes it more interesting.
Get off our show.
That's how I'm going to end every show.
Hey. I would assume, like, you know, you have your certain areas, New York, radio, TV, you know, those northern states that are really passionate about their sports, and you have these idiots that come on air, live TV or whatever, and they make these dumb. I would expect that in those regions. Like, that doesn't surprise me about a city that's passionate about baseball, football. Those are the type of hosts that you have, and they will tell you about yourself.
And did you say this was a TV host?
Oh, yeah.
Or radio?
No, this is television. Yeah, this happened on Cleveland TV. Hmm.
No, it's more fitted for radio, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm just amazed that there's a Cleveland TV show that takes live calls on television.
Hey.
What the hell are you doing?
Did Cleveland change their name?
Oh, the
Indians?
No, they're still the Indians.
No, they're still the Indians. But they're probably going to, I would think.
Okay.
I think they stopped using the, and this might have been a couple years ago, they stopped using can't remember his name, but the mascot, the cartoon Indian.
Yeah.
They stopped using him in everything. But yeah, that just
fair weather idiot.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. And then I wanted to end the show in case there's anything else we want to do, at least with the big shot of the week. And that goes to a young girl named Trish Bauer, who set the record in 2021 for the most Girl Scout cookie sales in a single season. She sold 32,484 boxes. Here's why she gets the big shot of the week. 5,200 of those boxes were bought as donations and given out to the homeless, deployed troops, and three different children's hospitals because this young lady is a cancer survivor.
That's what's up.
So, that's good for her. So I guess my question is, what's your go-to Girl Scout cookie?
Samoas.
Is it Samoas?
Hands down, that's the best one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have issue with either Tagalongs or Thin Mints. I mean, Thin Mints is everybody's.
That's one B and one C.
Okay. Because I mean, Thin Mints right out of the fridge. I don't know if there's anything better. I could eat a sleeve of them just straight out of the fridge. Rob, what's your go-to Girl Scout cookie?
I'm going with s'mores.
The s'mores.
Is that even a real good? That's not a cookie, is it?
Yeah,
it's Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, no, they sell s'mores.
It's called s'mores for real. It's called s'mores. It's like chocolate and vanilla mixed together, and it's so good. It used to be the peanut butter one, but then that didn't work. But the s'mores is so good to me. I got to have the s'mores one. But I promise myself about this year, I only bought one box. I usually get about four boxes.
Oh.
But I said I can only get one box because I eat one box in one day. So
I'm gonna be honest with you. I do like Girl Scout cookies, but I've never bought any. Every time I've eaten Girl Scout cookies, it's been Grinch. Because somebody else has had them, and I'm like, "Oh, can I have some?" They're like, "Sure, knock yourself out." Yeah. And it goes from eating two to the whole box. So I'm just saying,
mooching Girl Scout cookies, man.
I don't have no money.
You that type of guy? No, I don't want any French fries from McDonald's. No, you know, I said, "Dude, let me get a couple of those."
No. I'm not that dude. Yeah. I'm not that dude. I'm gonna buy my own fries.
He'll come in during Girl Scout cookie season with the itch, you know. Just
Oh, that's such and such. Oh, you mind if I try one? Go ahead. By the time you know it, man, what happened to my Girl Scout cookies, man? Let me tell you, I ate one. I kept going.
Let me get a sleeve of them Dosey Dos, man. Come on, I'm Jonesing.
That's why, you know, it's weird. When we get the Girl Scout cookies in our house, you should see everybody goes in, they get theirs, and they look at each other like, oh, I got my own hiding spot. They literally, Christian hides his, Candace hides
Hell
his,
yes.
Gabriel has it. And the only one don't hide any is me, because I sit myself. I want y'all to eat mine. I don't eat them all up by myself. Oh. So I'm the smart in the family, seems like, right?
Oh, no. See, I will open a full-on CSI investigation. This sleeve of Thin Mints used to have 8 in it. Now it has 4. We need to have a conversation amongst the family. Who's in my Thin Mints? Because this is going to be a problem for all of us.
Yeah.
But, I don't like Thin Mints. I don't like mints.
Oh, I do. Cool. I got them in the freezer right now.
What? You don't like Thin Mints?
The only time I like mint is in my mojito or my...
How do you not like Thin Mints? They're like...
I just don't like mint. I don't even like minty chewing gum. I don't like mint.
But that's the only time.
So no, like Junior Mints at the movie theater.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, we gotta rethink this friendship. We gotta have a conversation.
Here. Mint stuff is really only, and I'm with Rob. It's really only mint for me for when it comes to gum.
Mint like, chocolate chip ice cream.
No,
anybody?
Absolutely not.
Peppermint mocha, Starbucks, the month of December.
No, that's nasty.
Get the hell out of here, all of you. What?
No, y'all tripping. No.
No, mm-mm. I'll tell you. Mojitos.
Jamie, is this a white person thing? is this a white person thing? Are white people on the mint train and the black folks are like,
wait a minute, you go to the movie theater.
My wife likes all that stuff too, but I just don't.
Okay.
We go to movie theaters. We got M&Ms. We got Kit Kat. We got Crunch Bar. You even got Skittles if you want something fruity. But we're gonna sit up here and result Skittles. To mint.
What do you mean result to mint?
That's what we're doing.
Oh, mint and chocolate—that's a good combo.
It really is.
No,
yes, it is.
Chocolate and peanut butter is the only good combo you can have.
That is a good combo.
I can't fight with you on that, but no, it's not the only good combo. No, you are incorrect. What do you think, Bruce Trennan?
Get off our show!
All right, Bruce Trennan wants you off the show.
Y'all are disturbing. Y'all are disturbing.
I don't know how to feel.
I need to have my own panel where I can play something. Because right now I'll play Doris Burke.
Rob, hold on.
No, we got Doris Burke. Hold on. Where'd you go, Doris?
Hold on.
It's not just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
All right, that's what you want. That's what you want.
Let me ask before we end this thing. I need that because I need to know. I want to go from candy and I want to go to ice cream. I want everybody to go around. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
All right, Rob.
Rainbow sherbet. Is that kind of ice cream? I know it's sherbet and it's a whole different family.
You're fine.
But
I guess
I have to go.
I've got so many
Rainbow
issues
sherbet.
With you this week. Rainbow sherbet? Are you
then,
seven?
Hold on, let me give you my other one though. My other one is because of my father. Is butter pecan.
I knew you. Why do all older people, they have to be at least 60 or older, and they eat butter pecan every
for like
single
praline,
time?
Something in pralines.
Yes, pralines and cream. Or
it
something.
Never fails.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jamie.
But hey, if I go to Dairy Queen, I'm gonna get the Blizzard with the Snickers and the Reese cup in it. Right, that's
yeah. You were a 6'10" child. Well, go ahead, Jamie.
Rainbow sherbet. Jesus.
I had the rainbow sherbet.
Wow.
Man.
All right, Jamie.
Baskin Robbins. I'll go double scoop, the espresso and chip and mint chip.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, espresso you bougie. Scoop. Yeah, I see that. Okay, I got you. Cool. Yeah. I got that now. I just want to know. Cool. I got it.
No, Baskin Robbins is like a very mediocre ice cream
right.
chain now.
But you're espresso. Like a little espresso. Yeah.
Like a coffee flavored ice cream. That's good stuff.
Oh, I love it.
Do you eat your ice cream with your pinky out too?
My pinky out. No, I have someone feed it to me.
A spoon for that Jimmy Hill ice cream, please.
She put somebody on the payroll to feed it ice cream.
Miss Marshall, your pralines and cream is here. You know, I'm with Jamie, though. I'm a mint chocolate chip guy. Always have been. Mint chocolate chip all day, man. That's my favorite, all-time favorite.
No, give me good cookies and cream, man.
I knew you was gonna
I'm a cookies and cream, man.
Cookies and cream is also right up there. I can't argue with that.
I'll eat the whole carton. Right. I won't give any to anybody.
Apologizing.
For candy bars, you have to go with a good old Reese cup of Snickers, like I said.
No, you don't. You can leave Reese cup. You can leave that.
Oh,
whatever.
No. Reese Baby cup Ruth. Is, yeah, no. Uh-huh. I'm with you. Reese cup all day.
Who calls it Reese cup? I've never heard this. It's Reese.
Oh, this might be a Georgia thing or Dirty South thing.
Reese's. Yeah.
You're right. When I was up in the north and I grew up in Jersey, it was Reese's cups and Reese's. You get down to here in Atlanta and everything's Reese. Reese cup.
I'm a Snicker and Kit Kat.
Keep it in the South, Jamie. We shorten everything.
You got your whole other language.
We shorten everything.
That's the Dirty South, man. Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
You learn that really quick. If you ever with me, Jamie, and we go to the South, someone's going to call me, instead of calling me Robert Keith, they're going to call me Robert Key. You're going to think my middle name is Key, like sticking a lock, like Key. Robert Key, what's up, baby? What's up? They shorten everything.
it's culture shock in a lot of ways.
This is interesting. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot of disturbing things about you three. And Rob, we've been doing this rocking for 6 years.
Oh, God.
And there's just some disturbing things that I learned
disturbing
today.
Disturbing? Why? Because I like mint chip.
It's really
here.
Bothering him.
Disturbing. It really is. It's off-putting, and I don't know how to feel about it. What do you think, Bruce Drennan?
Get off our show!
See, he's back. He wants you off the show again. All right, y'all.
I know who doesn't want me off the show.
Who's that?
Monica! Hey, Monica, come out here.
Monica!
It's not just when you come. Like, it's how hard you come.
There she is.
All right, Rob, you the only one at home right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Your wife's gonna be like, "Who is Monica? Right, why are you screaming her name on this
might
show?"
Want to calm down.
Yeah, we need to have a quick conversation, sir.
Man. You'd be all right. She wants to know who Monica is too. We all do.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.